I wish this wasn't the only place you would hear the truth about Islam, but you can't hear it on the news. I think they fired someone off of Fox News for making this statement. Sharia law does not comply with the American Constitution. And so that's not Islamophobia. That's the truth. And what we should fear with the Muslims is their takeover of America. We've already got two senators right now, North Dakota and Michigan, and they're not here to be Americans, they're here to be Islamists. We better understand what's going on, and England's already saying, America, you're where we were at 7 years ago. England's gone. And they're saying, they're telling us, you better wake up. Norway's gone. Germany is on its way out. France is gone. Paris is never a place now to go to again. And you know how the Islamists said they're going to take it? They said, we'll take it without firing a gunshot. We'll go there. We'll have more babies than you all will. And we'll take your country. And when the population gets more Muslims than it does us, then guess what? They vote in their stuff. And we'll use your political correctness against it. I wish this was taught more places than church. And I don't know a lot of churches that'll teach this. As far as a history for tonight, what is it that you need to know about Islam? Well, in your Bible, you need to understand Genesis a little bit, and it is Jacob, and through his the 12 tribes of Israel, you have here from Abraham's, I guess you could say it, with his relations with Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, you have Ishmael, and then you have what? The Arabs. Don't say Muslims. Muslims don't come along for several thousand years. But what did God tell us in Genesis about the Arabs? They're a very emotional, volatile people. He said of Ishmael, his hand will be against every man and every man will be against him. So when they say we need peace in the Middle East, God's already said for the Arabs, there will not be peace until Jesus comes. You understand? There can't be. And they've already proved that. You need to know a little bit, I think, as a Christian, from Abraham, you have the 12 tribes of Jacob and you have the Arab tribes. That's important because all the Muslims now say, we belong to Abraham and that Israel and that land is ours because we're the descendants of Abraham, and Israel is saying, no, that land was not given to you, it was given to us. So that's the battle that's over there, been happening, going to keep on going till Jesus comes. All right, a little Bible behind that would help. When it comes to Islam, they always say, oh, Islam, it means peaceful or peaceful path. The only people that believe that are Westerners. Nobody in the Middle East believes that. It has never meant peaceful. When President Bush got up after the 9/11 towers and the Twin Towers fell, he said, but Islam's a peaceful religion. He fell right into their trap. Nobody in the Middle East believes that. The only people that believe that Islam means peaceful, here we go, are ignorant Americans, because it helps us, I don't know, sleep at night. You have the Red Sea, you have Mecca and Medina. Two important cities, and it's all going to start in Mecca with, of course, you know, you see Jerusalem. Muhammad did go up to Jerusalem there, but we don't live over there, so it kind of helps you know where Mecca is and Medina. The black stone in the Grand Mosque in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, is set in the Kaaba's wall by Muhammad in 605 AD. So Muhammad sets this stone. That's exactly what it looks like. It's on the side of a wall. And that is the building in Mecca. And then people circle it all day long. See how small the people are? The stone's over here in the side of the building down there. And they go by and they want to touch it. And it's idolatry. But Muhammad set that Kaaba stone in 605 AD. That's what's in Mecca. So when they say we need to take a Hajj or a journey to Mecca, that's where they go and that's what they do. They march around a idol. And there's a lot behind that, and of course you can look that up. The word Islam means submission and obedience. Everybody in the Middle East knows that. It does not mean peaceful. The five pillars of Islam is confession. No God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Praying daily, and then giving 2.5%. Fasting, which is Ramadan. You say, what's Ramadan? Ramadan is the month of December, which starts the 23-year giving of Gabriel the Quran to, quote-unquote, Muhammad. So they take the month of Ramadan. Nobody eats during the day. They eat at night. What a fast, you know what I mean? So they say they're fasting, but that is Ramadan, which kicks off there. And then a pilgrimage to Mecca sometime in your life, which is called a Hajj, and actually going there. Don't forget, this is Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabian Peninsula here, and referred to as Edom in the Bible. Next, Islam authority. They do not just go with the Quran. They have the Quran, the Hadith, and finally, which works towards Sharia law. Every Christian ought to know Sharia law is what they're trying to instill here in America. That's what they want. They don't want the Constitution. England already has, I believe it is around 8 Sharia law courts plus their parliament. Do y'all understand? Whenever a Muslim wants to go to court, then if they get Sharia law, then they go to there where they're allowed to beat their wives. They're allowed to dismember people for stealing, and under Sharia law, they carry out, they don't want the Constitution. They want to override it. What is the Quran? You got two books, Hadith and Quran. The Quran is Thus Saith Allah. This is supposedly the revelation of Gabriel to Muhammad and what he wrote that Allah said. Muslims say that the Quran is eternal. They say that the Quran was preserved perfectly at the time of Uthman, 18 years after the death of Muhammad, and the Quran we have today is exactly the same as it was. The Quran that I'm going to refer to you tonight is one that is highly lifted up, but I have 18 Qurans on my computer, different interpreters. It remains just the same as it was. No, it is not. It has gone through many changes, and they can prove it. No Muslim can produce any Quran from the 7th century. It supposedly happened in the 600s. The oldest is 6 manuscripts from the 8th century. That's as far as they can go back. Not one of them agree with the Quran that we have today. Okay, their oldest documents do not agree with what they call the Quran today. They do not agree with each other. None of the 6 manuscripts are complete. The first complete Quran is not found until the 900s or the 10th century. It's good to know, especially when they're claiming we hold just to the Quran and all of this. Next, the Quran is in two parts. There's the Mecca Siraz, or steps, that's what the word Sirah means, and then there's the Medina Siraz. The first part of them took place when Muhammad was in Mecca. The next part of the Quran was when he was in Medina. 3 battles are listed, and we won't go through those tonight. Medina is where the theocratic model begins. Here's what you need to understand. When they behead people and they go on jihads, holy wars, they're doing what their founder established. You'll know more about Islam tonight than the average Muslim. But they said, oh, Muhammad was, watch this, 5 years, okay, this is when Muhammad in Medina, he goes north, violently deals with those who oppose him. 5 years after Mecca, he exterminated the Jews in the area there. Then after the Battle of the Trenches, he beheaded 800 Jewish men and took the wives as concubines for his men and sold the children into slavery. So the beheading of Islam all started with Muhammad. It is nothing that has slowly evolved. No, it started with their founder. He had 25 people assassinated, and in the last 8 years of his life, he led 29 battle campaigns and planned over 30 more battles. He was a bloody man. The Hadith, so the Quran is Thus Saith Allah. The Hadith is Thus Saith Muhammad about the interpretation of the Quran. All right, so you got two books, Quran and Hadith. It gives details on carrying out the verses, and it mentions it leads you to Sharia law, which is the religious legal system governing Islam. That's what they want instilled all over the world. It sets up a theocratic state. What's that mean? What's a democratic state? Well, the people rule, right? So a theos, God, cratic, would be a God-ruled state. And they want the state and the religion unified. That's why if you don't believe like they believe, they kill you. What do you have to do? What's one of the things? I'll show you what you have to do to be a Muslim. But if you cannot read the Quran in Arabic, you're done. They kill you because it's a theocracy. It's a state and government together. It's not like we have separation of church and state. Sharia law. You say, what's in Sharia law? It controls everything in your life based upon a 7th to 8th century Arab culture model. The only thing that's missing is camels, and they wish you had a camel. Camels are nasty. Have you ever seen them at the petting zoo? You know, one kid holds out, oh, look at the camel. Here, I'll feed him. And then the camel, they throw up on you. They're like, blah, blah. I can't stand camels. I'm glad we don't ride them. In the Sharia law, it says for stealing. In Surah 538, it mentions dismemberment. And it says here, this is what it says in the Quran. And as for the man and the woman addicted to theft, cut off their hands as a punishment for what they have earned, an exemplary punishment from Allah. And that's how come all the stupid videos on the internet. They'll take a child when a child steals something and then they hold their arm down and then, I mean, put it on a board and cut the arm off and then the kid walks around with a stump. That stuff's all, those videos are all over the internet. Adultery. If a person commits adultery, the Quran says they're to receive 100 lashes in Surah 24:2. The adulteress and the adulterer, flog each of them with 100 stripes. And let not pity for them detain you from obedience to Allah. What's so goofy is even the Roman government found out you can kill somebody with 40. They gave Jesus 39. But you can't do that. You can whip somebody to death. And that's what the Quran requires. Marriage, polygamy. Oh yeah, you can only have 4 wives. Surah 4:3. And if you fear that you cannot do justice to orphans, marry such women as seem good to you, 2, 3, or 4. That's what it says. Oh, okay. A man may beat his wife for disagreeing with him in Surah 4:35. It says, and what you need to know is a woman under Sharia law or Muslim rule, her testimony only counts for half. Only half of it is good, because she's a woman. Okay, let's keep on going. Islam says it's a religion of peace, but they mean that there'll be peace as soon as they take over the world. They use all the same terminology. We just want peace. We think they don't want war. What they're saying is, we want to conquer the world so we can stop fighting. And they're not going to stop fighting until they take over the world. You see the same type of terminology? That's why Americans are so foolish. We try to understand Islam with an American mindset, and you can't do that. There is nothing in our culture that is like theirs, and there's nothing in theirs that is like ours, and vice versa. According to Islam, there are 2 houses. There's the house of Islam and the house of war. Only religion in the world, it's the only religion in the world that mandates violence against unbelievers. That's why you never heard of a Christian blowing up a school for Jesus. You never heard of a Christian getting in a vehicle and driving into a mob for Jesus. We don't do that. Islam does that. They do that. They kill people because you're an unbeliever and you have no rights. You're an infidel to them. Unbelievers are required to meet on the battlefield. Here, this is Surah 9:5, is famous in the Quran. It's called the verse of the sword. Here's what it says. So when the sacred months have passed, slay the idolaters wherever you find them. Take them captive and besiege them and lie in wait for them in every ambush. But if they repent and keep up prayer and pay the poor rare, leave their way free. Surely Allah is forgiving and merciful. Oh, aren't we glad? Here's what they say in Islam. If you don't convert, we either kill you or tax you to death. So do you have to convert? No, you got 2 options. So I put on the screen there, what part of kill do you not understand? It is a bloody religion. Next, they quote Surah 2:190 when asked about peace. Here's the catch. Watch this. I know it's small up there, so I'll read it to you. It says, Chapter 2, Surah 2, 190 says, "And fight in the way of God against those who fight against you, but be not aggressive. Surely God loves not the aggressors." And they'll say, see, Islam is a religion of peace. And what they're not telling you is the verse right underneath it says this, "And kill them wherever you find them." Oh, so you left out that part when you were describing how peaceful it is. "And drive them out from where they drove you out, and persecution is worse than slaughter, and fight not with them at the sacred mosque until they fight with you, and so if they fight you, slay them, such is the recompense of the disbelievers." Yeah! Surah 533, "The only punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His messengers and strive to make mischief in the land is that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or if they should be imprisoned, or they should be imprisoned." So you get the picture? Look, there's nothing in the Bible that is like that. For Obama to get up and say, the Old Testament is very similar to the Quran. He said that twice. I was like, no, there is not either. God did tell them to go in and kill every man, woman, and child because they were sexually filthy. Everything in the city had a disease. There's a reason God said kill them all, but God didn't say cut their hands and feet off and watch them. There's nothing in the Bible like that, that type of junk. Surah 88:98, verse 6, "Those who disbelieve from among the people of the book and the idolaters will be in the fire of hell, abiding therein. They are the worst of creatures." And it just goes on. So there are no peaceful verses in the Quran. The law of Allah is to be spread by force. You either become a Muslim or we kill you or tax you to death. It's all through there. Islam is not a religion of peace. It's definitely not in the Hadith. There are moderate, peaceful Muslims, but there is no peaceful Islam. The moderates have a slim justification for their peacefulness. Here's what I'd wish I could pass on to everybody. They always go, well, there's your extreme Muslims, and they're bloody, and that's ISIS, and ooh, that's bad. And then you have your moderate Muslims, and they're the nice ones. They make good American citizens. Everybody, here we go. The only difference between an extremist and a moderate is when they want your head cut off. They both want your head cut off. The extremists want it cut off now. The moderates want it cut off when the imam is empowered, which if you do a Bible study on it, it's scary. What they're longing for is the coming of the Antichrist. And I wish we could go in that tonight, but that's a different Bible study that I've done before. And that's scary. The one they're wanting is the one we're looking to escape from. Amen. It's just everything in the Bible and the Quran is exactly mirrored. And it's scary. It's in such reverse. Allah weighs the good and the bad works. There's no certainty of salvation, but there's only assurance. Their only assurance is those who die in jihad. Suicide is redefined and sanctioned if it's done to kill unbelievers or helps to establish Sharia law. Upon the death of a Muslim, when a Muslim dies, they announce their wedding and celebrate. Because they're like, oh, he died in jihad. He go boom. And now he married the virgins in paradise. Let's all have a wedding celebration. That's kooky. You know what I mean? But I'm telling you, that's their thinking, the mentality. You remember last week when we looked at Mormons? You had a guy who says he has a vision, who instills a book other than the Bible, and it ends up being polygamy, a filthy, immoral religion based on the physical relationship. Guess what you have this week? Islam. Same thing. A man that sees a vision instills a different book other than the Bible. And guess what the religion is based on? Sex. It's filthy. It's filthy. That's why all of this stuff, it's like it should be flags up. And I know nobody here is on the verge of being a Muslim.
Thank you, preacher, for the Bible study. I was just getting ready to convert, but boy, you just brought me out of the depths.
No, okay, I know that does not apply to anybody right now, but it would help if you understood what we're real. Do you realize the first battle in America that we fought, the Barbary Wars, was against Muslims? America's first act of war was the Barbary Wars. Guess what? It's come full circle, hasn't it? Guess who we're fighting now? And we'll be fighting them until Jesus comes. And that's a different prophecy lesson. Islam's paradise is based on physical gratification. One last word, hudna. What does hudna mean? Islam does not allow for any treaties. What they do allow you to do is if your enemy, you can lie to your enemy and say, okay, we can talk. And the whole time you're talking, they're loading the slingshot. You can lie if it's to defeat your enemies. That's why when they say, okay, we'll do what you want, they're lying. They're liars. The Quran allows for them to do so. That's why when they say, oh, they're after this, I'm like, people, you got it. You're really thinking they're like Americans. And there's nothing like that. Muslims and, okay, lying is allowed if it's for the cause of Islam. Muslims cannot say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. That's why Obama wouldn't do it until they raised too much of a stink. And then he got to lie because it was for the cause. Oh, okay. All right. How did two women that don't wear a full hijab get elected as senators in America? Because they can break the law if it's for the cause. And guess what they're trying to do? How does any woman... That's because they knew over here in the States, they're whacked out with the women's rights. The feminazis and all the pigs like that. Don't get me started, okay? How did two women become senators that are Muslims that can go barefaced? They kill you for that over in Arabia. But you can do that here in America, and you can break the law, and you can lie if it's to take it over. And that's exactly what's happening. Muslims and Islam are here to tolerate us until they can take us over. Our freedom of religion is looked upon as ignorance. The state a nation has before it is taken over by Islam is toleration. And that's America's number one mistake, is Islam is a personal religion. It's the only personal religion that's a threat to the Constitution. And that is not Islamophobia. That is people who know what the Quran says. You do whatever it takes until you kill or convert the unbelievers. We're not told to do that as Christians, right? In the New Testament, what do we do when somebody doesn't get saved? We don't show up at the yard at 3 a.m. with a chainsaw. We pray for them, and there's some people that will die and go to hell. But we don't threaten anything physical. Ours is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical domination. Islam's a form of government first. It's a political and social system. There is nothing spiritual about Islam. Now, look at your sheet. If I could do it, it was in your bulletin. If I could do a track for Muslims, this would be how I would do it. What you need to know is, I give you a quick history there. When Muhammad was born, took him 23 years to get the Quran, give you that time frame. Then, what does it take to be a Muslim? Here's what it takes. Here's all they're looking for, which is so weird. It is a salvation of works, but they never know that they're going there unless you decide to you want to blow up a bunch of kids. It says here, the moment and the only moment when God spoke to man, it's the foundation of the Islamic faith. Accept this truth and Islam accepts you. Recite the words, La ilaha illa Allah wa Muhammad Rasulullah, which means there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. There is no God but Allah. Next, and abracadabra, you're a Muslim. In other words, all you need to do to become one of the faithful is to truly believe that through the angel Gabriel, God spoke to one man and one man only out there in the sand dunes when he dictated the Al-Quran, which means the reading. Okay, that's what the word Quran means. Now, the words of the Quran should be very important because Jesus told us in Matthew, for by thy words thou shalt be justified and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So the specific words of the Quran should be important. Because see, here's what Muhammad said. He's the only one that God's ever spoken to in what we call the Bible, just like Mormons. It's full of errors, cannot be trusted, and we're to stick with the Quran. That's what Muhammad teaches. If you win a Muslim to the Lord, you will normally, there are those that, you talk to our soldiers, there are those that are running from Islam and they get saved pretty quick. They know just by escaping the armies and their army that they're going to get killed, and so they seek refuge. And watch this, I've heard from the missionaries that there's Muslims are getting saved by the thousands over in the Middle East. It's just, we don't have missionaries seeing it. We've got our soldiers seeing it. There's a few missionaries. But to go over to the Middle East and take the gospel is illegal. It could cost you your life. It's not like going to the Dominican Republic, amen? There's no threat, praise the Lord. Here, if you start with a Muslim, if you get to witness to one, the general thinking is this. You'll have to start with the Quran. You won't be able to say, well, the Bible says. This is our line of thinking tonight. I'm going to try to lead you into this, and watch this. What we believe to be God's word would not have any contradiction in it, because God's told us that His word is very pure. We learn that from our Bible. Then, if there is any contradictions, then it's a lie. John 8:44, you have your father the devil. He was a and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. A great verse to say, look, if your Bible has contradictions in it, then it's of the devil. We're not going to look at the contradictions of the Quran tonight. There's plenty. All we're going to look at is, before I show you that, we're going to look at four things tonight in the Quran that prove that Jesus is who our Bible says he is. But, can I share this with you? There's many proofs that the Bible is God's holy word. One of the main ones is prophecy. How does God in the Bible, in Isaiah 46, when he says, read along with me, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. How come God says nobody is like me? Because of the next verse, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. God says, I'm the only one that tells and can prophesy, and it comes true. Do you realize, and I put this, just listen to me for a second, out of all the world religions, there's about 26 books of authority for a given religion, okay? Whether the Bhagavad Gita's for the Hindus, or you want to go for the Quran for Islam, there's 26 what we would call different Bibles, right? The Bible, our Bible, is the only one with any prophecy. The book, the Quran, has it has verses that recognize fulfillment of prophecy, but there are no prophecy verses in the Quran, in none of the other books. Do you know why? Because God's the only one that can do that. God's the only one. Somebody said, well, how do you know the Bible's true and the other 26 books are false? Because of prophecy. And everything God has prophesied has come true. One of the main differences between biblical Christianity and Islam is who Jesus is. The Quran, now what I put on the paper is, well, the Quran speaks against the Lord Jesus being God Almighty in the flesh and says he was only a prophet of God. And then I give you the places in the Quran that speak against the Lord Jesus. You say, why? Because these are the verses that the Islamist is holding to. So it's just good for you to know, if you get to witness to a Muslim, where are they referring to in their Bible? And trust me, if you know three of these, you'll know more than the average Muslim. They only know what their clerics are hollering and screaming from the prayer towers. Okay, they don't read the Quran. No one reads the Quran. Okay? The word surah means a step, and then each verse, there's a term for it, and it means a sign. So you're going to hear me say surah, 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 all that. It means a step in Islam. And what factors then should be present to prove that Jesus Christ was divine or God in the flesh? Let's go through this. And I've never witnessed to a Muslim yet. I'd love to. I want to. But if you think America, I hope America stays free. I do. I don't want no problems. I don't want the judgment of God. I don't. But you'd have to be kind of goofy to not see what's on the horizon. You have to be an ostrich to put your head in the sand. Things are changing. They're teaching Islam in the public schools. They're not allowed to teach Christianity. They're not allowed to quote the Bible, but they are that there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. They're saying that in the schools. Do you know why? Because Arabia, one of the richest, Saudi Arabia, is funding our Common Core school work. Thank you, Bill Gates. So this society that's coming on, you're not allowed to speak against Islam right now, or you're Islamophobic. Is everybody watching what's happening in our society? It's getting more and more volatile towards Christianity and more. In other words, you can be anything in our society except a Christian. You want to put witch verses up, you want to hail Satan and all this other garbage, you can do anything but be a Christian. So you say, where's it going? If God doesn't give us revival, God doesn't give us an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, it's the only thing that'll stop it. But they're training them in the schools now. The public schools train society. So when you get to be homeschooled or you go to a Christian school, you need to thank the Lord for it. Amen. You're not being programmed, but society is being programmed against you. You do need to understand that. I want to witness to a Muslim someday. I just hope it's under peaceful conditions. Amen. But I'd love to take, this has been a lesson for me in doing the study and figuring out. It's been a lesson. Could I take, okay, let me ask you this. Let's do something even closer. Could you win a Jew to the Lord? I mean, a full-blown Judaist. I mean, could you use only the Old Testament? Because with a Jew, you can't use the New Testament. Now, eventually they'll accept it, right? But could you use just the Old Testament? Could you take them to Deuteronomy? Show them the one that God's going to send in the name of Moses, the one that they're going to reject? It's a challenge, right? It's a challenge for you to learn your Bible. Amen? Now let's go to Islam. Could you take a Quran, that's what this is, and show them what you believe about Jesus to get saved, like our Bible says, is in your Quran? What do you have to believe? What would you need to understand to believe that Jesus is divine and God in the flesh? Because they don't believe that. Number one, one of the requirements would be, and it's there in red, there should be an early prophecy or expectation of his birth, which his coming fulfills. Now, all through the Old Testament, Jesus is coming. I mean, the time, the date, the place, what the people would say, it's prophesied thousands of years before Jesus got here. Here we go. Let's look in the Quran. In the Surah 546, it says, "And in their footsteps we sent Jesus, the son of Mary, confirming the law that had come before him." There it is. They didn't prophesy that Jesus would come. Here's what the verse says. It's acknowledging that Jesus was prophesied before he came. Everybody see that? Surah 61:6 says almost the same thing. And remember, Jesus, the son of Mary, said, "O children of Israel, I am the apostle of God, sent to you confirming the law which came before me." Two times in the Quran, it says that Jesus was an answer to prophecy when he came. Nothing in the Quran prophesies Muhammad's coming. Nothing. Jesus was prophesied, though. That would be one thing that makes him God. Everybody understand? See how you're using the Quran to say, well, that's one requirement. What's another requirement? Look at what's in red. His coming, conception, or birth ought to be supernatural, extraordinary, and an incredible miracle that could only be explained if Jesus were the Son of God. So when Jesus comes, it'd have to be something supernatural, and you can say to the Islamist or the Muslim, look, your Quran says when Jesus comes, it would be a supernatural thing that would happen. Throughout all ages and time, there's only one birth that makes the claim of a virgin birth. Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Matthew 1:23, only the birth of Jesus Christ has that claim substantiated that it was of a virgin. All right, only the birth of Jesus does. The Quran goes back to Mary's mother. This would be Jesus' step-grandma. And in Surah 3:36, it says, when she was delivered, she said, "O my Lord, behold, I am delivered of a female child." So now she's talking about, quote-unquote, how she gave birth to Mary. And God knew best what she brought forth. Okay, no wise is the male like the female. I have named her Mary. Then the Quran quotes Gabriel and Mary's response to the message. That's in Surah 3:42-47. I'm not going to read the whole thing with you, but do you see where I've highlighted the verses? Look at verse 45. "Behold, the angel said, O Mary, God giveth thee glad tidings of a word from him. His name will be Christ Jesus." That's important. the Son of Mary held in honor in this world and the hereafter. Do you realize what he just said? According to the Quran, they said Jesus would be the greatest person on the earth and in heaven. Look at the next verse, verse 47. She, Mary, said, "Oh my Lord, watch, how shall I have a son when no man hath touched me?" That's in the Quran. So what you're showing a Muslim is saying, look, Muhammad had a father on earth and a mother on earth. But your Quran says that Jesus was born of a virgin and his father was not on the earth. Jesus was virgin born. That's number two, right? He was prophesied of. It was a supernatural appearance. Looks to me like Jesus is God. Now, for you to get saved, you got to believe that. I know you haven't been taught that, but what you call your Bible tells you who Jesus is. What's the third requirement? It says here, his life should be highlighted with miracles and his teaching should withstand the passage of time. If Jesus Christ was truly God, then he would be truly sinless. Think with me just for a second. When Jesus was here on the earth, the Bible, New Testament, hadn't been finished yet, right? Jesus goes to heaven. The Bible is finished being penned. Is the Bible more widespread now than it was when Jesus was here? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Has his teaching stood the test of time? Yes, they have. Yes, they have. You could say this, the teachings of the Lord Jesus are stronger now than they were when he was here. And what do you do to show that he's sinless? If he's sinless, if he's God, then he's sinless. So what would you use to show that? Surah chapter 3, verse 40. I'm just going to read 49. And appoint him an apostle to the children of Israel. I have come to you with a sign from your Lord, and that I make for you out of clay, as it were, the figure of a bird, and breathe into it, blah, blah, blah. And it becomes a bird by God's leave. Here's the part, what I outlined for you. And I heal those born blind and the lepers, and I quicken the dead, or I raise the dead. Did Jesus do that when he was here? He did miracles that only God could do. In one of the traditional books of Muslim, I give you the, just in case they'll say, well, where does it say that? In Sahih Muslim book 30, number 5838, Abu Hariya quotes Muhammad as saying, the Satan touches every son of Adam on the day when his mother gives birth to him, with the exception of Mary and her son. There's a writing of Islam that says Jesus is sinless. So he was prophesied of, his coming was supernatural, and he was sinless. What's the fourth requirement if Jesus is God that the Quran speaks about? Last one, if Jesus was God, then he could truly conquer death. What does the Quran say? In Surah 4, 157 to 158, I'm just going to read to you verse 158, nay, God raised him up unto himself. That sounds like Acts 2:32. When you read it, God raised up the Lord Jesus. There's the resurrection. He overcame death. Sounds to me like, as a Muslim, your Bible tells you that Jesus is God. And you're not taught that, but that's what your Bible says. The fact that he's called Christ Jesus several times. Everybody know? In other words, I put it in your lesson. The word Christ means the Messiah, the anointed deliverer, God in the flesh. Your Bible calls him that. It's not just Jesus. It's Christ Jesus. So when you're witnessing to a Muslim tonight, wanted to give you the history of Islam. Where's it come from? And then, we're not trying to puff ourselves up and increase our knowledge, but if you ever get to meet one, how do you win one to the Lord? I gave you the sheet here. There's four things. If you turn it over, page 4, it says what you could put in your Bible. And you don't want 3 pages of, I've showed you in case you needed to see the Quran, but what would you put in your Bible? You would put something like this, the four requirements, and where would you need to turn in their Quran to show them what I just showed you. That way, if the Lord ever gives you an opportunity. 2 weeks ago, teach on Jehovah's Witnesses, Brother, that week, Brother Bernie and Miss Sally, they get Jehovah's Witness stuff. Last week we taught on Mormons. Guess what happened? Brother and Miss Miller go home, and guess what's in their door? an invitation for the Book of Mormon. So tonight, I'm interested to know who's going to go home and say the Quran is for you. This is the purpose of us learning about a false religion, because they're lost. And when you see them, your heart ought to be praying for them. If they don't get saved, they're going to burn in hell forever and ever at the devil's deception. And we're the ones with the truth. Amen? But if I could ever do a gospel track for Islam, this is what it would be. To show them what their Bible teaches about the Lord Jesus. Amen? Hope this is a help. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you, Lord, that it has stood the test of time.